We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt, that fine gentleman over there, nodding his head approvingly in the heart of the Midwest, where spring is officially sprung. Chicago, Illinois, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm great. It's high 60s today. Sun is out. Not really clouds in the sky. Life is good. And I don't know if you have a sound to commemorate this, but I would like to make a bit of an announcement here.
Oh, you know what? I'm unprepared. I have this.
That's
it's
not
the first
bad.
Button I had. What's up?
Okay, here it is.
Double sounds. Okay.
For the next 4 to 5 years of my life, I have decided to commit to having a low-grade cough and sore throat. Because with two kids, three and under, three and one, that apparently is my new reality at 2+ weeks, and I've tested negative for COVID, 2+ weeks of just feeling not great, not terrible, not crazy bedridden sick, just that low hum of blurg.
We're getting to the point where it may be fair to start asking whether Jody with an I has some sort of poisoning situation going on over there.
The low-key poisoning situation?
Just a little bit of arsenic in the morning cereal. Something of that ilk.
Yeah. No, she's messy enough that she would just leave out the bottle if that were the case. So probably not the situation, but most definitely I am living in a house of snot and horror all the time.
Snot and horror. Well, we'll get into talking about snot and horror here in a little bit. You've got five questions for me, five questions that I know have been on your mind that we have not had a chance to address. And then a little bit later on this week, I've got five questions of my own that I will be posing for you. All in all, 10 hearty, meaty, beefy questions for you to sink your teeth into as we plod on through the latter stages of March. Spring is now officially here.
Mm-hmm.
And we are as well. Thank you for downloading the show. I'm Ty, he's Dan. This episode, as all our episodes, driven by Geico. Don't forget, we do two episodes a week, two public episodes a week that you can get. All you got to do is subscribe to the podcast feed, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Some places call it a follow, some places call it a subscribe. They all mean the same thing.
Yes.
If at all possible, tell your friends, rate, and also review the podcast. All that stuff really does help other people find out about us. Verballers.com. Verballers.com, as I say on every episode, it's where you can get this show, all of our shows a little bit early. You also get access to the bonus features that include our Discord server, that include the bonus content that we put out there each and every Friday. We're going to have to start planning an off-topic show in the next couple weeks, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We got all sorts of little things that we've got going on here. Extra nuggets, which you've heard us talk about and again now.
Love my nuggies.
Yeah, all that stuff is going to be available to you if you go on out to verballers.com. And last but certainly not least, we mentioned it on the last episode, but solidgiveaway.com.
Mm.
We cranked it back up, Dan. Cranked it back up. AJ Brown signed Ole Miss mini helmet. It's the white helmet, sort of the alternate shade. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. Get on out there, solidgiveaway.com. Get your name in the hat. Just a few quick and easy steps for you to follow in order to enter the contest. Congratulations to Adam. Not Adam Amin, a different Adam. Long time Verballer Adam.
Nice.
Who won our last contest. Yeah, and got the Jonathan Taylor tailback helmet. So.
Yeah. By the way, Ole Miss, very quietly, wide receiver you these past few years. DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Elijah Moore a couple years ago. Like, yep. Very quietly stacking receivers upon receivers that are of, I guess, Biletnikoff-esque quality. We can agree.
I think that's fair. And long before any of these guys, we had Laquanosaurus Rex, or boy.
Of course.
Laquan Treadwell. Of course. With all that being said, Dan, as we said at the very top, you've got questions for me.
Yeah, I do. We are sort of in that very early period of spring practice, and we're ahead of the NFL draft. We are, you know, past signing day. And so this is an opportunity. And we recently did a pretty big part one of the Q&A show publicly and part two on verballers.com, where I've got a lot on my mind, Ty.
Yeah, as ever. And let me ask you a question, though, before you go any
please.
Further.
Okay.
We're recording this right now on March the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
As we said an episode or two ago, spring games are going to start cranking up here pretty soon. Pretty much the middle 3 weeks of April is when your favorite team, the bigger teams, are going to be playing their spring games. Scale of 1 to 10, where are you at in terms of excitement for the 2022 season?
Yeah.
Versus where do you think the general public is?
I get a sense that people are less enthused than usual, judging by the offseason. I don't know if it's a transfer portal thing. I don't know if it's an NIL thing, or it's the uncertainty about the postseason and the organization of the sport. I get a sense that there's a lot of apprehension about what's to come in college football. Now, it's also spring. It's also March. It's not the proper time to gauge excitement over the sport. But I do get that sense, at least looking at the conversation online. And I don't know. Do you get that sense?
I would compare it to...
Which is a bummer, but
it is a bummer.
You know, yeah.
I'd compare it to this. Everybody's got a friend who uses Facebook like it's Twitter.
Yes.
And it's just a lot.
It is.
It's a lot. You don't necessarily want to remove the online relationship, the real friendship in real life, what have you.
Right.
It's just a lot.
It's a lot.
And I kind of get that impression because college football right now is a lot. There's a lot going on. There's news every day. Mm-hmm. It's beginning that slow climb into NFL territory where it becomes a year-round thing. And I think NIL, I think the transfer portal, those topics in particular are going to help get us there before long. But I don't know if everybody's ready for that quite yet.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think I'm with you. We will get to a point in late April where people are, you know, like, I don't know, just amused by college football and curious. They're college football curious at that point. Or maybe they get to like a 4 or a 5 on the meter. May hits, nobody cares about college football in May. It's the doldrums of college football. But then you get into June and July, and then it starts building up to a fever pitch by the time we get to Labor Day weekend. So right now, this is an important time to get these questions out of the way. Whatever's on your mind, let's get them out of the way now. Let's talk it out. Let's hug it out if we have to. I don't know. And then by the time things really start getting cranked up here, we'll be free and clear to talk about the news of the day.
First question. Thursday, Ty, is National Cocktail Day. I had to look this up, and every great cocktail needs balance.
Sure.
Sweet, sour, maybe a little bit of spice. You got your base liquor, maybe the right temperature if you want it on the rocks, if you want it, you know, blended, a frozen drink of some kind. So, given that we do have the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, I want to ask you, because I don't think that's the answer. which historic rivalry currently has the most balance? So the cocktail coming together.
Is that a shaker?
It is a shaker.
Wow.
So when you look at the bigger rivalries across the sport, big you know, schools, small schools, whatever, to you, which is humming at a really nice level? Like there's a, both teams are competitive, you know, there's the coaching personalities are there, you know, you have a push-pull, maybe it's a back and forth over who wins every year, maybe there's a good amount of hatred in the air, interesting players recently. Which is the cocktail that feels the most balanced and is in the spiciest place, perhaps?
You know, there's so many different ways to grade this.
Sure.
I think. And I would be loath to look solely at the win-loss record.
Okay.
When it comes to balance, because I don't know if you could really take that at face value. I think the answer for me is the Iron Bowl. And here's why.
Okay.
That game, there was, and you could use the game that we saw in 2021 as a perfect example. There was no reason that game should have been close.
I hear you.
There was no reason that game should have been close. And I think the mark of a true rivalry in college sports is when you've got a situation like that. We talk with Pat Bostic, right? With Pat about the
coming back
Pitt West Virginia game.
Yeah.
Backyard brawl. They were a 28-point dog going into that game. West Virginia seemed on a glide path to the national championship. Pitt wins the game 13-9. Defensive struggle. Like, that is the mark of a true rivalry, where even though maybe the records are a bit lopsided, maybe in the case of the Iron Bowl, you've got a team like Alabama that's had so much more recent success, it's almost in a different stratosphere.
Right.
But still, you can have overtime games like the one we saw this past fall, I should say, where it's close. Auburn probably could have won that game if they went for two instead of opting to tie it. That still is stuck in my craw.
Yeah.
But I feel like that game always has the potential to be close. And also, because of Alabama's recent success, it always has the chance to be very consequential around college football. There's a real domino effect.
I hear you.
Because they play in the SEC, because Alabama's always in the running, there's always that added layer to it. There's no shortage of hatred in that rivalry either. There's just not. There's always interest. Doesn't matter what the records are. Rivalry where you can quite literally throw the records out.
I was all over the place with this one, and I think I settled on Michigan-Ohio State just because of where we are at the moment. At the moment, we are in the shadow of Michigan at the end emphatically beating Ohio State and flipping the script a bit, right? Beating Ohio State to get to the Big Ten championship game, which they win that game emphatically, end up in the playoff. Now, obviously, they're not competitive in their playoff game against Georgia, but it raised the question of who's going to win moving forward more often, at least to a more interesting point than it has been with Ohio State's dominance prior to that. And then, you know, in the wake of Ryan Day saying he wanted to hang 100 on them, you know, the COVID year in 2020, and then Michigan taking that personally, and Jim Harbaugh, you know, sort of leaving, but not leaving because nobody would hire him. And so he's back in Ann Arbor, and that there is a quarterback of the future at Michigan. There's always going to be a quarterback of the future at Ohio State. And there is something to me about Auburn not even liking their own coach, which I guess they technically never do, but that the tumultuous nature of Auburn football at the moment has me less excited for the Iron Bowl, and it makes it feel like it's in a less exciting place. Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12 make me uncertain about the ramifications of that game moving forward and not knowing what to expect. And I love the excitement around Brent Venables within the Oklahoma fan base. I just don't have a sense for that rivalry with Brent Venables in that top job.
Yeah.
UCLA, USC, I feel like, you know, there's excitement around USC, but we don't know what that is with Lincoln Riley. UCLA, we kind of have a concept for what Chip Kelly UCLA is. Oregon's dominated Washington. Cal and Stanford hasn't had big fallout. You know, you look at that rivalry game. You look at, I don't know, other parts of the SEC, you know, Florida, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Florida, Kentucky. Like, I know Florida, Kentucky is not a rivalry game, but I'm searching up and down. Like, Clemson, South Carolina is not in a particularly healthy place right now. And so I think just to the average fan, to the dedicated fan, I think Michigan, Ohio State has the spice and the drinking violence involved to answer this question for me.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair answer.
I'd love for it to be Tennessee, Alabama. Soon. Yeah, that'd be great. LSU, Bama.
I thought about Texas and Oklahoma because that's another one that always feels like it's going to come down to the wire. But I think where I'm really hung up on is the Iron Bowl always has some sort of national significance. Not to say that Texas and Oklahoma doesn't, but Alabama is the apex predator. They're the predator all the time. And so always having that game at the end of the season that against their hated rival that could knock them off the pedestal, maybe knock them out of the running. That's interesting.
If you talk about national implications of the game as a part of your cocktail that you deem to be important, I get that. If we get rid of that, if we're just intent on making like a fireball cocktail, if we're intent on the spice, right? That like, what was that? In your cocktail, I think it's the Egg Bowl. I think the Egg Bowl is probably the truest form of a distilled college football rivalry. It's interstate.
I do like the Egg Bowl. I do like the Egg Bowl. If only because of the name. I love the Egg Bowl.
The Egg Bowl has a great name. Also, Thanksgiving. Right. So it's sort of set aside as an important, like the NFL can't fully make up its mind how many games they want to play, whatever, on Thanksgiving. College football sort of narrowed it down, at least Power 5, FBS, whatever, has narrowed it down that on Thanksgiving, you know, we had a little bit of Texas A&M a few years ago, which it'd be great if that came back, but I think it will. The Egg Bowl, in the way that it stands alone on the schedule, and also the unique qualities of the Grove and cowbells, just in terms of a game cocktail, it's really going to mess you up. And it in every facet, right? On the recruiting trail with NCAA violations alleged, with the back and forth nature of the game sometimes, with the coaching personalities, with Dan Mullen and Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin, obviously Matt Luke. I think that is probably our as a sport most electric rivalry.
More importantly, Dan, what is your cocktail, actual cocktail?
Good question. Brown liquor tends to really mess up my sleep. Like I'll pass out real quick and then I'll wake up at 3:44 a.m. wide awake and feeling like garbage. So I've been staying away from the brown liquor more and more. I like certain tequila cocktails. Margaritas are fine. I know you can't handle your tequila.
God, don't say that word. I can smell it when you say it.
I like a good mule, like ginger and vodka and simple syrup, that kind of thing. A mojito is fine by me. Rum can lead me astray a little bit.
Yeah.
But something cold and refreshing is sort of my direction. Like I love that bronze mule cup. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
bronze something. Yeah.
I turned 40 and I decided I was going to start trying bourbon.
Yeah. Bourbon's delicious, but it can mess you up.
Yeah. No, I'm not drinking enough to mess me up, but
okay.
I'm just trying it. You know, I'm dabbling with it right now to see if it makes me feel sophisticated.
Well, do you like an old fashioned? Do you like a dark and stormy? What?
Well, the reason I started drinking it just with a big shaped ice cube and nothing more is because I made some old fashions at a birthday party.
And dark and stormy, by the way, is rum. I got that wrong. Continue.
Yeah, yeah. And then I decided, well, I just don't want to keep putting all that sugar in the drink. And so I'm just going to try it straight, which I had never really done before. And I found that, okay, well, I can nurse this over the course of the evening. And now that I've entered my fifth decade of life, it makes me feel sophisticated.
Okay.
So yeah, we've been experimenting right now with a little Elijah Craig downstairs. So,
okay, what's your budget? What's your bourbon budget? Bottle.
It's not big enough to actually be considered a budget. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'm saying like, how much did your bottle of Elijah Craig set you back?
$35.
Okay, so right around there. If somebody has any suggestions for Ty,
we're not adapting to a lifestyle here. I'm just saying,
right,
trying it out for the moment.
Sure. No, I good bourbon is delicious. It just, man, it sends me into a weird direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like any of those refreshing, you know, more ice-bound cocktails?
I'm not a big mule guy. I never really got... I read something on Google that the copper cup can poison you.
Oh, no.
And I don't really believe it, but that stuck with me. And so I haven't...
No.
Haven't gone there in a while. Yeah.
All right, Ty. Let's set aside for the second question number two that you watch games all day on Saturday because it is your job to watch as much football as humanly possible on Saturday and talk about it very early Sunday morning.
Correct. That's correct.
What would it take for me to get you in a stadium this fall? A 2022 model
like you're
of a college football stadium.
Like you're selling me a CX-9 here, huh?
It's correctamundo.
Need a good parking situation, obviously.
Of course.
Sort of goes without saying at this point. I think it would actually have to be with you.
Okay.
Because the nature of what we do on the weekends is such that we're pretty much glued to the TV all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so at least if I'm with you, it sort of gives us a theme that we can record and talk about on Sunday.
Right. Okay, and so then parking company, yeah.
We'll both be in the dark equally.
Right.
And I won't feel as dumb when I try to go through the other games that I didn't watch.
But let's just, for the sake of argument, say it's a, you know, a Thursday night matchup that, you know, you can afford to go because nothing else of consequence is happening in that moment, or a Friday night matchup or an early season Labor Day, whatever. So let's just assume that that's not the concern. That
okay.
We're just talking about the stadium experience that has been missing for a lot of people as fewer and fewer people are going to games casually. So I think parking is a terrific part of it. What else is there that would attract you to making a return to a stadium for the first time in a bit?
I mean, I think that first off, the game has to be significant.
Yeah.
It has okay. to be a meaningful game. It has mm-hmm. to be the kind of game that you want to go see live.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, and maybe I'm being a little bit of a snob here about this, but we're all friends here. I'm just going to be real with you.
Please.
I, on a handful of occasions, have had the great pleasure of having the press pass and
yeah.
being able to sort of walk in and just walk where you want
mm-hmm.
and not have to fight the crowds, that sort of thing. That's really addicting. It's sort of
a more sterile experience.
It's more sterile, but it's sort of like flying private. Like,
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it's just a luxury that if you can have it,
right,
it's sort of intoxicating. So I would.
So you'd say not necessarily press pass, but a suite, access to a suite.
Yeah,
of some
something
kind.
Where I okay. could. You know, I'm not talking like J-Lo levels where I need my own bathroom or anything crazy.
But you have high class taste. I get it.
But yeah, like if that's an option, then that's interesting to me.
Okay.
To be honest with you, beyond that, I don't know if I have any requirements. It just gets complicated when it comes time to actually record on Sundays. So if there's a way around that, and if it's the other thing would be as long as it's not a place that's just ridiculous to get to, you know, a place that's easy in, easy out.
Right.
I'm open to it. I miss going to games. It's got to be the right circumstance.
Hypothetically, if there was a decent, I don't know, Wisconsin Penn State game in Madison, and we had a dedicated Wisconsin fan who goes to games in a suite and has a swath of parking spots.
Yeah.
Has a wide, you know, a few parking spots. And I guess you wouldn't need a parking spot if you're traveling unless you rented a car.
I always come in on a helicopter, so it's not
if you were
a problem.
Yeah, of course. If you were invited as a guest of honor where somebody was just like, just get here and you can come watch the game in a suite, would you go?
I'd consider it.
Oh, man. Come on.
Would
somebody
you?
Make Ty a guest of
would
honor.
Would you?
Depends on the game. Depends
yeah,
on the place.
That's
depends
my
on
answer.
The weather.
It depends.
Yeah.
I'd be honored.
If Wisconsin Penn State were playing in mid-September, certainly yes. a colder part of the year, I don't know. I mean, it depends, you know. So I don't need the suite thing. I need parking. I need good company. Like if a bunch of buddies invited me to go to a random good game somewhere at a place that I either have been to and like or have been curious about going to, I would try to go. I would definitely try and go. I think it's the people And then I think it's the ease of getting there. And then it's like, I don't really care about Wi-Fi that much in a stadium, to be honest.
Wi-Fi? No.
Well, that's a big thing. People don't want to be disconnected during a game.
I don't know. I've just always assumed that in a big stadium setting like that, the Wi-Fi is not going to work.
Right.
It's just not going to work. There's too many people. It never works.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are certain parts of the in-game experience. Like, you want a million bathrooms. A million clean bathrooms would be wonderful to have, Ty, in a perfect world. But to me, it's more just how easy. Like, are you going to be packed in like sardines on a concourse? Like, I want more thoughtful stadium design. And I think we're getting there with some of the newer stadiums that are being built, but we're still in a sport that has a lot of old stadiums. So I'm kind of with you. Like, I kind of want to be, as an average fan sitting on the 23-yard line, kind of up high, I still want to feel pampered. I still want it to be a nice experience. And so, yes, it's nice having a huge screen to watch replays of. I don't want the Jerry World screen, but I want a nice experience. And I think I want a 3:30 local or whatever, a mid-afternoon kick in late September would be my ideal.
All we really want is to not be hassled. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah. The ins and outs are, if they're a pain, that's a problem. And so
it's no hassle.
Yeah, I want thoughtful pampering. That's where I'm at right now with going back to college games. Because I love, as good as an experience that can be had at a football game, which is not a great live sport in a lot of, just because of the starts and stops. It's a much better TV sport right now. Sort of the opposite of hockey in that way. Hockey doesn't really translate to TV as well as it does in person because of the constant action. Yeah, I want thoughtful pampering from a stadium.
Thoughtful.
And
got it.
That's all I want. And if it's parking, if it's concourses, if it's bathrooms, if it's, you know, good local food, stalls and things of that nature within the stadium, you know, like they have in NBA arenas now and some better of the newer NFL stadiums, that's what I want. That's what I want to get back to a game because, man, TVs are not expensive. They're not expensive like they used to be. So that's where I'm at. But there are, like, I haven't been to, like, I've been to a lot of places, but you haven't been basically to every, like, you've been to Notre Dame, you've been to Penn State, you've been to Georgia, you've been to some national championship games. But, like, I'm sure you're extremely curious about what it's like to go to, like, Kyle Field or to go to, you know, Death Valley, either LSU or Clemson or whatever, to go to Baton Rouge, like all of these places, to go to a game in the Shoe. Have you been to a game in the Shoe?
No. Not at all.
So it's figuring out which experience is going to cater to your luxurious needs the most. I guess. So I think that's a good answer, Ty. Good answer.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right. you like to talk about, and you use the phrase, college football is better when blankety blank team is good or is relevant or is competing for a national title. That's not where I necessarily want to go with this question, but here are the following teams are teams that have, they've had recent success, big success, but also finished with losing records in 2021. Okay. LSU, USC, Florida, Auburn, Washington, Northwestern. Now, I don't know if Northwestern's big success, but they won the West the year before. TCU, Texas, Florida State, Louisville. Okay?
Okay.
Who of those teams that have been down or have been recently down, they haven't at all changed the way that you view the sport? Like, you're like, well, they're bad, but I'm happy with where things are, whatever. And who being down has made you long for the like the good old days of when they were good, of those teams that were pretty down in 2021.
Florida State to me, as we were growing up, and I mean you've talked about this more than I have, but some of those old Florida State teams were, I mean, they made an imprint on us as college football fans.
Yeah.
And you know you've talked about it, it's a big part of why you're a college football fan at all. Some of those early Florida State
100%.
Teams. You used to root for Florida State, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And so to see that program kind of in a state of limbo and be very uncertain. Of course, they were on the precipice of making a bowl this past season before they lost to Florida in that final game. But just the constant uncertainty surrounding that program has really been, I don't know, that to me has definitely been a big time bummer over the last couple seasons. So, you know, teams that make me yearn for the good old days. I'm not big on the good old days thing. I think that's mostly BS.
Right.
But to answer the question, I think Florida State is probably my answer there. I'm desperate for Florida State to rise up again and kind of reclaim former glory. As for teams that, you know, them being down has not necessarily changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of these teams, frankly, like Northwestern being down doesn't really leave a mark for me.
Okay.
And it's no disrespect to Pat Fitzgerald. It's Northwestern football. Let's be real here.
Right.
Okay. Florida being down doesn't real, like, I would like for Florida to be better. I'm hopeful that they will get there under Billy Napier,
right.
But I would probably answer Florida just because I don't personally feel the connection to the Gators,
right,
the way I know a lot of people do. So whether or not they're up, they're down, it doesn't really make a huge impact because Georgia's coming out of the SEC East for me right now.
Wow. Okay.
So that one doesn't really change the way I see the sport as much as it might some other folks. You know, I think Louisville falls into the same category as Northwestern, TCU. These are programs that I'm interested in, but ultimately them being down.
Wait, you've had an emotional relationship with TCU.
I'm they're dead to me.
Okay. Wow.
They're dead to me at this point.
Okay.
So those are teams that them being down hasn't really affected the way that I feel about the sport as a whole. Hasn't affected the vibe.
Yeah. So, okay. Of these teams, Florida State being really, really good again, to me, would be the best for the whatever sport, whatever it means, the sport of college football, because of the imbalance and the I guess the inconsistencies, the Clemson dominance of the ACC, that there needs to be a rivalry within the ACC, and Miami really hasn't done it within the conference, you know, strung together a number of successful seasons in the way that Florida State and like the, you know, early 2010s was able to do. So Florida State would be the best, but viscerally and visually, I need big games at Death Valley. I need big games at LSU. I need that for me, for the sport to be at its absolute best. And Florida State being great would be terrific, and Auburn holding up their end of the bargain in the Iron Bowl, that would be great. You know, TCU as sort of a big city counterpoint to Oklahoma, at least in the next couple of years, however long Oklahoma is still going to be in the Big 12. That's great. And, you know, TCU was, you know, playoff-ish. You know, that's a sore subject in 2014 or whatever. So those, I can appreciate all of those. LSU and similarly Florida, I need for there to be big games in the swamp. I need the swamp to matter. And it sucks when Florida's bad to me. It sucks when LSU is bad to me, because those are unique places within the sport that I just need aesthetically. I need those schools to win 10 games a year. I just do. I mean, for the sake of their rivalry games, for the sake of LSU-Bama, for the sake of Florida-Georgia, whatever, I need it. So those are the games to me that them being down, them being nowhere near must-see TV has affected the sport to me.
There were a great number of Florida people that dunked on Notre Dame going 4-8.
You can just say Spencer Hall's name.
Oh, no, I'm not even talking about Spencer. There are a lot of Florida people. It's not just one person.
Yeah, okay.
There were a great number of Florida people who dunked on Notre Dame going 4-8. I never really forgot that.
And you took that personally, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. I never was able to wash that down.
Okay.
And so Florida being in a perpetual state of like mediocrity.
Yeah.
I could deal with that. I'd be okay with that for some period of time. I'm not rooting for it per se.
Right.
I like Billy Napier a lot, actually. I think it's a great hire. But, you know, Emory Jones is leaving now, and it's going to be Anthony Richardson's team. They don't have a whole lot of quarterback depth, a bunch of questions. I think they'll get better, but I don't know. Like, we could be here for a little bit yet before the ship turns around in Gainesville.
So the interesting thing to me about Florida, Florida State, and Miami, with how much talent comes out of that state and how much that state, and we talked about this, I think, with Brandon Huffman a few weeks ago, how much that state's been rated. So Georgia, Alabama, recently Texas A&M, like a lot of top kids have left the state. And the coaching hires have been suspect at best with those three places recently between, you know, Manny Diaz, the short-lived tenure of Mark Richt, Willie Taggart, obviously Jim McElwain, Will Muschamp were not able to sustain success. Dan Mullen was not able to get it done on the recruiting trail and in the locker room. That state could be a fascinating counterbalance if those three schools got their collective acts together to the rest of the sport. The complaint that Alabama has dominated in unforeseen ways. The fact that, you know, Texas A&M is loading up. Georgia has loaded up with the number of classes that they've loaded up in no small part due to the Sunshine State.
Right,
like, I almost feel as if they, like, you know how when an animal goes extinct or is overhunted or something, like, it affects the ecosystem, right? There's a certain balance. And there is something about that with the Florida schools that I feel like has tipped the balance into weird ways within the sport, especially the SEC. And Clemson obviously has done a very successful job in Florida as well. That it's almost like they could be the mongoose, the honey badger, right? That is the one apex predator to this one animal, this cobra or whatever, that's destroying everything in the ecosystem.
Yeah.
That's where I think the state of Florida can really help to restore certain amounts of balance within the sport. I'm serious about that. Like, it just, and I see you nodding. You're not laughing at me. I think you might agree with me that there is something to those schools collectively being down and other schools coming in and loading up rosters in new ways. I don't know. I think there's something there.
No. Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I just like the word mongoose so much.
An apex predator on the show. We've used it a couple times now. I might have to start using that more.
Is a mongoose known as an apex predator? Does a mongoose have a natural enemy?
I would assume something's bigger than a mongoose that could take it out.
But they're so... Okay, so snakes are the natural enemy of the mongoose, especially the cobra, but the mongoose is obviously quick enough to hunt them. Mongoose has a speed and agility on its side when fighting a cobra, but it is not immune to the deadly venom.
Sure.
Cobras can grow up to 12 feet and eat small mammals like the mongoose. Okay. But the mongoose is putting up a fight.
Sure.
The mongoose has the physical traits. And same goes for the honey badger. What the honey badgers would able, you know, the viciousness of the honey badger.
Right.
So, I don't know if a mongoose is an apex, but
can
it
hold
has a certain.
Its own. Can
it has Liam Neeson a certain set of skills.
Right. All right. Next topic.
Okay. Ty, similar to my question to you with the car dealership, what would it take for me to get you into Pac-12 football in 2022?
What define get me into?
You live in Eastern Pennsylvania.
Correct.
You have no natural reason, if you weren't doing what you did for a living, what you do for a living, to watch Pac-12 football. The game started inopportune times, both because of how late they start and sometimes weeknights, and I just the network that is difficult to obtain. What this fall would get you watching noticeably more Pac-12 football than what I assume you currently watch? Because you don't really have, even doing what you do, you don't really have good reason to watch ASU Cal,
right,
to watch UCLA Wazoo.
Well, we have two really good reasons the first 2 weeks, yeah, of the year. Because, yeah, opening weekend, we've got Oregon against Georgia.
Yeah.
The Dan Lanning Bowl, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really interesting game. Georgia should still be loaded to the teeth. And I would presume we'll be a nice favorite against Oregon, but who knows?
Sure.
So if Oregon pulls the upset there and knocks off Georgia week one, okay. Now I'm starting to think, well, this Oregon team could be a contender.
But that's not a Pac-12 game. That's
not a Pac-12 game, but it's a Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
And secondly, to build on that, the following week, we have another Pac-12 team in action in a non-conference game against an SEC opponent, Utah against, yeah, Florida. So, and Utah should be pretty good again this year.
Definitely.
So where I'm going with this is, if on back-to-back weeks, we have Pac-12 teams knocking off SEC opponents, now I'm starting to think this conference could be for real. The teams at the top of this conference could be for real. There is a game later on in the year between USC and Notre Dame, which, mm-hmm, I think can further validate maybe the Pac-12's role, Pac-12's place on the pecking order, if you will,
mm-hmm,
as we go into 2022 and start to evaluate and look at how these things are going to shake out. What I think could help more than anything get me into, quote unquote, into Pac-12 football is feeling like there is a Pac-12 team that is legit. I would like to see a team that, first off, can win a big non-conference game, whether that's, yeah, Oregon or Utah or USC at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, I'd like to see somebody who could really legitimately play good defense.
You okay.
Know, really physical defense.
Sure.
For a while, that's been Utah's lane. That's been their,
yeah,
music.
We've had Washington, right? Washington fielded some really good defenses over the past, you know, 5-7 years. I don't know how much Washington you watch, though.
No, I haven't watched much at all.
Yeah.
Utah, you know, the defense was not up to snuff this past year. It just wasn't as good. But nonetheless, I think those two factors are paramount. Need to be able to beat a big non-conference opponent early. We'll have an opportunity, mm-hmm, to see that. And then secondly, I'd like to see a team play defense. Because if they play defense, I feel like they're legit. Those two factors, if I feel like there is a legit contender in the Pac-12, or if it just seems like there are a bunch of high-level teams, even if they're beating each other up, that makes, mm-hmm, it interesting to me. That makes it interesting to me. And suddenly, staying up late on a Saturday evening to watch those games at my own peril because of what, mm-hmm, we need to do on a Sunday morning, suddenly that's more of an interesting proposition to me.
To me, it's styles make fights. To me, it is when you look at when the Pac-12 has been the most interesting, which was probably around 09 to 12, somewhere in there, which I know obviously coincides with Chip Kelly, but forget about Oregon. You'd look at Stanford style. Washington State starting, you know, 2012, 2013, whatever, as Mike Leach jumped in there. You have an air raid. You have the speedy spread that Oregon's running. You have Stanford mashing guys. You have Utah mashing teams. You have a wild card ASU that's running a wide open, you know, passing based offense. You know, Taylor Kelly and Mike Bercovici, guys like that, where you have these stylistic offenses where you become curious about what they look like when matched up against each other. And right now, we've got a ton of new coaches. We have a second year coach at Arizona, new coach Oregon, new coach Washington, new coach Washington State, new coach USC, of course. You have a ton of new coaches and a ton of mysteries about what those offenses specifically will look like. So I think that's probably what would do it for the most people, is known brands and styles up and down the conference, not just what the best team in the conference can do in the first week in September. I think. Wouldn't that have you more likely to, I'm not even saying like a national championship contender. Like if Washington State were scoring 45 a game, right, and USC were scoring 45 a game, it wasn't a top five matchup, but it was number 12 versus number 16. You'd be like, oh, I am curious about who wins this like firepower filled matchup more so than you currently are, I assume.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
No, I think that goes without saying, Dan. I mean, styles, as you said, definitely make fights. And, you know, there's a reason that outside of all the winning, there's a reason that Boise State's been very interesting over the last 15 sure. years, right? They're just, they're creative.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there's definitely an element of that. I will also tell you this, because of the coaching turnover, and I'm going to talk about Lincoln Riley here, there is definitely an injection of star power to the Pac-12. And if USC goes out there and if they look legit, if they look tougher, if they're not missing tackles, if they're not getting blown off the line, if it feels like a USC team is going to be legit, then that's interesting to me.
Right.
That's interesting. That makes the Pac-12 a little bit more interesting. And perhaps we don't pan the USC games like we would on a Saturday afternoon through mid-October. Perhaps there's a reason to watch. So I think what I'm saying is give me a reason to watch and I'll watch. I'm not averse to watching Pac-12 football. We just haven't had a really good reason to do so, at least from the standpoint of the national conversation. Right. They just have not really been a factor.
The star power either has to come from a coach, a system, or it doesn't have to be a quarterback. It can be Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey gave everybody in the country reason to watch Stanford games. To a lesser extent, Bryce Love, who would either run for 183 yards on three carries or 17 yards. But you need that star power. You need Khalil Tate. You need Christian McCaffrey. You need Marquise Lee. You need Marcus Mariota. You need those names because it's very difficult to build out those names when you're inherently on a different coast. You're a different time zone. You're in a different starting time. Pac-12 needs star power, needs recruiters, needs to keep talent home and sort of build that out. And I think that's ultimately what it's going to take.
Yeah.
Next question. In 2022, Ty, you mentioned Boise State. Maybe that's your answer. You have to select a Group of Five team who did not win double-digit games in 2021 to fully dive into bed with. Mm. Who is that team and why?
Diving into bed with.
So no Coastal Carolina, no Fresno State,
right?
No Cincinnati.
I kind of think it's UCF.
Okay. Going to the bounce house?
Yeah, I kind of think it's UCF.
Okay.
I was impressed with the job that Gus Malzahn did last year. I was impressed because they lost their quarterback fairly early. They had to rebuild things, reconstitute it with Mikey Keen, who was young and inexperienced and had some limitations in his game, but they still won 9 games. Mm-hmm. They still played hard. I believe won their bowl game as well. So this is not a team that gave up despite the fact that they had some key injuries, notably their quarterback. I like Gus in that situation, to be honest with you. I think that he's always proven himself to be a more creative play caller, run a more creative offense, right? We saw that for years at Auburn.
Sometimes, not
all the time, but sometimes. I think he'll be able to recruit great athletes at UCF for sure. You know, Florida's known for that. Guys who are very versatile, who can plug and play and get them in space. I think his offense is predicated a lot on that. And I also think that it's in a very winnable conference. UCF maybe isn't long for their current setup because they're going to go over to the Big 12 whenever. But, there's going to be some drop off now with Cincinnati losing a good chunk of its guys to the NFL. I think the conference is there for the taking. And UCF's got a lot to build on from last season. So I'm pretty gung-ho. I haven't done the preview work yet. You know, it's still a little early for that, but I feel like there's enough coming back and there's at least enough of a foundation after 1 year of Malzahn that I'm pretty bullish on UCF.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be bullish on a team. Just for whatever reason, get into bed with. I'm going Boise. I'm going okay. Boise because of I like Andy Avalos. I like the unique quality of Boise. I like Mountain West football. I mean, honestly, if I could pick a team with double digits, it might be San Diego State just because of Southern California, new stadium, and I think they should be under the right circumstances be able to attract, especially in the portal era, a good amount of talent, especially, you know, guys leaving the Pac-12 or whatever. So Boise is at Oregon State this year. They're also at UTEP, it appears. So Boise has in 2023, they're going, I guess I only said for 2021, but they have Washington and UCF, Washington Husky Stadium. So like in the next couple of years, they have really interesting non-conference opponents. They're playing Oregon State and Oregon in 2024. So they're playing in bigger games in September. They've got a younger head coach who should improve that defense, and especially this coming year. I think Hammer and Hank Bachmeier is back, right?
Yep.
So experienced QB. George Halani, got, you know, there's just like there are guys there that are, I think, going to take leaps in year two of the Andy Avalos era. I still like how quickly they play with that. What's his name? Tim Plow, the offensive coordinator.
Tim Plow, yep.
So I don't know. They're really intriguing to me still. Boise State, I just don't sleep on the Broncos. I don't have their exact Mountain West schedule in front of me this year. I don't have any of that. And I don't know if they're going 10-2 or 6-6 or whatever. I just, there are enough pieces there and enough narratives that I can get on board with that I think it's Boise State within the Mountain West.
Smurf turf. All right, I like
Smurf
it.
Smurf turf. I have a non-college football question for you, Ty, and you can go in a number of directions with this.
Okay.
So, you're now a man mm-hmm. and 40.
I am.
And now that you are living in the skin of a 40-year-old, Ty.
Oh, God. Where are we going with this?
What advice would you give to people of younger generations, myself included, obviously, younger generation here?
Right.
I guess in terms of what you wished you either accomplished or saw or experienced or able to do physically. You're not in your best shape in terms of your joints, right?
I mean, I'm okay.
You got a bum shoulder.
I do have a bum shoulder. Yeah,
you can't really do push-ups right now, could you?
No, I could do push-ups.
Oh, you do push-ups.
Yeah, if I do too many of them, then yeah, my shoulder starts to feel like it's going to fall apart.
I'm not saying regrets, but I'm saying if you had a blueprint for a 28-year-old right now, and what would you tell him or her about, like, look, you're not always going to be 28.
Right, right.
I don't know if you can say, I'm glad I did this, or I'm bummed I didn't do this sooner, or I'm bummed I still haven't done this. What is it that you say before you, because like you're, I mean, you're not boring, but you're a full on grown up, right? You have a mortgage. Like you have, you have responsibilities that you didn't necessarily have when you were 28.
That's right.
You have to live a life, not just for you, but for a spouse.
You ask this question hoping for some sort of new information from me, but you know, I will probably let you down with this answer.
No, I'm going to still prod. Continue.
I should have quit my job a long time ago.
Okay.
I should have quit my job. And actually, that would be my advice. My advice to people, if you are 28, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. You're 28.
If you're miserable or if you're not, you know, if you have the freedom to do so.
That's correct. Yeah, don't just like go in willy-nilly and say, you know what, I'm going to do this instead. I have no experience in it. I'm just going to like...
Or do it.
You know, set yourself up in the best position possible before you make the jump. But yeah, you know, there are a lot of people who go into the office every day. I can say this now because I was kind of in that mode. There are a lot of folks that go into the office and just sort of go through the motions. And I love the people I worked with. To an extent, love the stuff that I did. I'm doing a lot of the same stuff for you and me now. So it is stuff that I have always enjoyed, but I don't know that it's definitely a different feel now when you're doing it for yourself as opposed to doing it for the man. So if you're in a situation that you don't feel you're getting anything out of at this point, my advice to the 28-year-old, whoever, would be strongly reconsider because there are other opportunities out there.
Do you wish you had traveled more?
I think so.
Yeah.
There's time for that. The last couple of years have been weird. No one's really traveled, but.
Right. More and more now, but yeah. Did you have opportunities that you turned down?
Opportunities like what?
Like, were you ever invited to go to Italy and you're like, oh, I've got a work thing. I can't really go.
I was invited to go to a European wedding in Poland, which I was unable to go to. But I'm not going to say I have any like real regrets about not going to that one. It's not like going to tropical.
Who got married in Poland?
A paradise or anything.
Who was getting married in Poland?
A college friend.
Okay. Is he from or she from Poland?
She is.
Oh, she's from Poland. Okay, yeah. That would make sense.
My friend's then fiance was from Poland. Yeah.
Okay.
So I had the opportunity to do that. Didn't go. But beyond that, not really. Just have not made it a priority, frankly.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Man, didn't see the Poland answer. Like,
no, just it sneaks up on you. It just sneaks up on you sometimes.
All right. Yeah, I definitely, I've traveled some, but I definitely haven't traveled enough. I definitely regret that. I regret not playing more rec sports in my 20s. How long were you single after college?
Single after
college. Like, you dated people. Well, so yeah. it's not like you've been with Kate since you were 21.
No.
So how long were you single and dating, but not in a relationship? From what age to what age, or what gaps?
Probably until I was about 28.
So 21 to 28? Were you, were you in a relationship in college with anybody?
No.
High school?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
We've been podcasting for 14 years. I didn't know either of those things.
No.
Okay. Do you wish you had been in a relationship in college or high school?
Not really.
Really?
Nah.
I was in a complicated situation in college, which then became a real situation in my 20s, and in a relationship in high school for a couple of years.
I think I'm all right. I don't know. I'm fine without it. I don't know.
Oh, your
voice, I mean, it worked out. I'm good.
The pitch of your voice getting higher.
Does
I'm
it?
Fine.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm feeling good. No, I'm all right.
28's a good age. 28 is when I moved to New York and was single for, I don't know, two and a half years or something like that in New York. But I was with somebody most of my 20s, which was fine. But I'm glad I had that experience after that in New York. In terms of other things I wish I'd love to have done more strength training when I had.
We could still get yoked. 20s and 30s. The other day.
I know. We can get yoked.
We need to find a gym where we can push the sleds around. That's what we got to, if we can find the gym,
yeah,
one in Chicago, one here and wherever I'm at,
yeah,
we could set that up. And by the time it comes to like the season, you know, maybe we could try out for a D3 team. We still got eligibility.
Are there any like bucket list physical accomplishments? Like, do you want to bungee jump?
No.
Do you want to run a marathon or a half marathon or a triathlon or an Ironman?
No.
Or
no.
Physical accomplishments?
No.
Like,
unless you're talking about golf scores, the answer is probably no.
Break par?
Yeah, I think that would probably be the goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
But nothing else in terms of like what people put on their bucket list?
I don't think so. No, I don't.
You don't want like to swim in Lake Minnetonka.
No.
Like, are there any places you would like to? I'm not saying like, you know, run a 5-minute mile.
Minnetonka?
That's purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. Wait, that's Prince, Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Land of 10,000 lakes. So like nothing? Like, do you want to get up on a surfboard? You want to swim with blue whales in Tonga? You got to have some sort of physical bucket list.
I don't
list
think
here.
I have a physical bucket list. I really don't think I have
really?
One.
Really?
I don't. I don't think I just, I'm not good at this type of thing.
Do you want to like take a fast car around the Autobahn? Like, I mean, that's not technically physical in the same way as like diving with the blue whales in Tonga. But like, do you want to take a Ferrari or something like that out there? Do you want to learn how to fly a plane?
I don't want to do any of this
speedboating.
I don't
parasailing.
I like boats. I don't want to do any of this stuff. I don't care.
Scuba diving in a shipwreck?
No.
Nothing.
No, I don't want to do any of this stuff.
You want to grow an herb garden? You want to start small here?
No,
you don't want to tend to a garden.
No. I don't. I like the idea of a garden more than I like the idea of tending to the garden. All I really want is to not be hassled.
No, I hear you.
That's really all I care about.
Oh, man. This is where you and I and our brains diverge. I want to be dunking basketballs.
I mean, I'm cool. I will never dunk a basketball.
I would love to.
I would love to.
Why are you saying that?
Because I'm 40. I'm not going to be able to dunk a basketball. If I couldn't do it before, I'm not going to do it now.
We got to get some aspirations in that brain.
There's a lot of aspirations in this brain. I'm just not interested
not
in swimming
centered
with
around
the blue
golf
whales
and podcasting.
Tahiti, Tonga, wherever.
Talk to me about your boat goals.
My boat goals?
You said you're into boats. Yeah.
Well, there's not a lot of water around here, so that makes it hard.
Oh, I'm not talking about Wallen Pompack or whatever. Is that what it was in the office?
Wallen Pompack, yeah.
Lake Wallen Pompack. Like, do you want to be like a open linen shirt on the Adriatic? What is your dream boating situation?
Dream boating situation? See, like,
yeah.
I don't,
do you want to go whale watching? Do you want it like one of those like speed boats that go crazy fast? Do you want to be an America's Cup type yacht race? What is? Tell me about when you close your eyes.
I'm
and
not
see your
that
ideal
complicated
boating
of a person.
I'm not saying complicated.
I'm just not. I'm not.
Do you want to cruise on a yacht in like a Florida, like a canal? What is it?
That sounds lovely. I just.
Oh man, Ty.
I don't know if I see. This is where I'm different from you. I don't know if I have an idea of these things that I would like to do and try. I would just sort of like to.
Oh my God.
To do cool things, but I don't. I'm going to edit most of this out.
There's no way you should be doing that.
I don't
leave this all in.
But I'm going to make myself sound boring. I'm not interested in any of these things.
This is honest.
I'm not
this
interested.
Is honest.
In
this
it.
Is.
I would love to go boating. I'd love it.
I'm planting a seed.
I'd love to go somewhere cool. But where? I don't care. I'm very indifferent.
You can select one college football media member to go to the French Riviera with. Can't be me. Go to the French Riviera, and on a yacht, you can jump off into the sea. Does that sound appealing to you? You and Ralph Russo on the French Riviera?
Ralph Russo seems like he's got a lot of... He would probably have the right amount of energy for something like that.
You think so?
I think so.
I think he might be a liability.
I like Ralph.
Okay. Same.
Who would I go with? Such a good question. I don't know.
Dude, Ari probably he's into super ritzy stuff. Yeah, it's probably Ari Wasserman in the French Riviera.
It might be a little too rich for my blood though.
That's fair. No, but I'm saying, does that sound like French Riviera yacht, right? You know, go down to Monte Carlo.
That sounds fun. I could do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad we could figure out one boat goal for you.
I don't have a boat goal. I don't have any of these goals.
Ty, we got to have something here.
Look, I quit my job last year. That was a big deal. I'm still working up to these other goals now that I have time to do so.
No, you got to think big.
We can start by breaking par.
Sure.
And then we can aspire to bigger and better things with respect to travel and boats and planes and diving for whales or whatever. But for now, I'm starting small and we'll work up to it.
You want to take down the Nishimaru? You want to get on the Sea Shepherd? Is that a boat goal? Who was the celebrity that donated?
The Bridget Bardot.
There was the Bridget Bardot. Was there a Bob Barker?
It was the Bob Barker, yeah.
The Bob Barker?
Yeah, yeah.
Warning. Yeah. That seems like a terrible boat goal.
No, it's horrible. Best show ever.
Oh, yeah. Whale Wars is terrific. Peter, let's say Sarsgaard. What's
Peter
his name?
Peter Hammerstead.
Yeah, Peter the Hammer Hammerstead. Man, you got to do better with boat goals. Right. There's so many.
Look, solidverbal@gmail.com. If you have
Hashtag
a boat,
boat goals,
let us know. Let us know.
I would love for us to do a show on a boat at some point, which we technically recorded on the New York City ferry, I believe.
We recorded audio. That wasn't a full show.
That wasn't a full shot.
And people did look at us like we were weird. That would actually be a cool boat goal, because we've done one in the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
But to do one on a body of water, like, you're in Chicago, you got to know somebody with a nice boat.
No,
Lake
I'm not
Michigan.
Doing domestic. I'm not doing a domestic show with you, Ty. We're going bigger than that.
You're talking international waters.
I want to do a Mediterranean or Adriatic, somewhere in that region.
Oh.
Yeah. Do
we know any oligarchs? How are we doing this?
Well, no, we don't need to know an oligarch anymore because all of those boats have been seized. Deals.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I want to do a show on luxurious international waters with you.
Well, this show took a turn. Solidverbal@gmail.com.
I don't understand what's wrong with thinking big.
I'm working up to thinking big again, Dan. The corporate man had me down for like 10 years.
Let's see. Let's look at the different C's that we could hit. The Alboran C.
Solidverbal@gmail.com is the email where you can hit us up. Let us know what's on your mind. Don't forget to follow on social media. You can also find us at verballers.com. It's where our bonus content can be found. Solidverbal.com is a website. It's where you can find all of our shows, where you can find the subscribe links, the follow links. Please do tell your friends about the show, Dan. This is all I have the energy for. This is all I have the energy for today. You always do this to me. You always throw me this curveball that I seemingly am unprepared for. We've been doing this now for 14 years. I'm still unprepared for that last question every time.
I can't believe you haven't given serious thought to your boat goals.
I love boats.
Who's okay with boats, because I understand some people don't like being on the water. That's fine. Whatever. To each their own. But if somebody's into boats, there has to be a very specific boat goal that you have.
I just sort of like being on the boat, because I don't go on many boats here. I'm in Eastern Pennsylvania. There's not a thriving boat situation here. I like boats.
Okay.
Maybe go on a cruise. But I've heard mixed reviews on cruises.
No, I'm not talking ship goals. I'm talking boat goals.
Well, then I don't know. I don't got any boat goals.
Do you ever fantasize about long solo sails?
No.
Okay.
Sounds terrible. I don't want to do that.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
But, oh man, yeah, I want to get
open. I don't want to like circumnavigate the globe, or I don't like, you know, come on.
I want the end of season two Succession, except you and I, you know, on the Dalmatian coast of Croatia.
Right. Right.
That's all. Croatia, I don't think that's too much
fun
to ask.
Croatia sounds fun. I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's so much. We just head into Split. Come on, Ty.
I'm salt of the earth, Dan. You know that. I'm salt of the earth. I'm the everyman here.
You're not above Croatia.
I'm not above Croatia.
Okay. That's it.
They speak
Think
English
about your boat
too.
Goals. Everybody should be thinking about their boat goals moving forward. All if right. You're into it.
Well, I don't like the way this show ended, but I'm going to leave most of this stuff in.
Good.
People are going to yell at me on social media for not being more prepared for this question, but
I'm just saying you need to dream.
I do dream.
Dream.
I just
Let down
I don't,
your hair.
I don't care about the whales and Tonga. I like whales. I'm pro whales, but I'm just not.
I'm going to Mercer Island off of Washington. See some orcas.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah?
That would be fun.
Okay. I have swum with whale sharks off the coast
of Mexico.
I
would not like that.
What? Whale sharks? They're like big golden retrievers. They don't do anything.
But they are sharks.
They don't eat flesh.
They don't
eat humans.
I don't. Listen, I went.
They're like a big school bus.
When I was in Cancun, we did one of those scuba things.
Yeah.
Snorkeling. Wasn't even
sure.
Scuba. And they threw the food in and the tropical fish came and they were all up in your grill. I hated it.
Okay.
I'm not interested in it.
But the whale sharks don't do that. They're just cruising around.
Not interested. They're sharks.
It is. They're large.
I can watch that on the 4K TV. Like you said, they're cheap.
But they don't attack humans at all.
I don't care. I can watch it on TV.
What about blue whale though? In Tonga?
I mean, the blue whales are spectacular. They're enormous.
Yeah, the scope of that.
It's just not a goal of mine. People have stopped listening. We don't need to keep... We can do
this
offline.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand. But I just like getting at the bottom of this with you. I like to hear your dreams. Because it was your dream to leave that job, and you made it happen. So let's check off another box.
All right. Well, I'll think about it.
Yeah. Ty and Dan on the French Riviera.
For that guy over there, in the Midwestern Riviera, that is Chicago, Illinois. Yeah. For myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thanks so much for downloading, listening, playing along at home. We will be back. Five more questions. Mine for Dan. I'm going to have to come up with a sixth that can hopefully stump him on our next episode.
I would love it.
In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.